Yo, so I've got a...
Is this working?
Test. There we go. So yeah, I got a little podcast update that my idea was to just record audio about specifically visiting Japan, because the first time I visited, it was so cool and I wished I had more of a chronicle of it. And then I presumed, you know, I'd go home for probably quite a long time. And during that downtime, I could just keep putting out the podcasts about Japan. So the idea was a weekly schedule, even though, especially in Japan, I recorded pretty much every day. And it leads to a weird lead time of, you know, this episode right now, I'm in Chiba. But I believe at that time, I was either still putting out podcasts about Montreal or the podcasts had just reached Japan. You know, it was trailing behind. As I record this now, in real life, I've been gone from Japan for 3 months. I'm in South Korea right now, but I'm just finally putting out the episode about, you know, being in Chiba and just, you know, it's like this little trail of podcast ducklings following along behind me. And I do have a ludicrous number of, what am I up to now? You know, this episode is in the 20s, but I have the raw audio for a little over 100 at this point. There's lots of podcasts to come. If you've been enjoying this so far, thank you very much for listening. Anyone who's dropped me a line, thank you very kindly. I find the best thing to do on the modern internet is kind of to do nothing. Just let the algorithm have its way. You know, these will just sit there, and if anyone is Googling specific locations, maybe they'll come across the podcast and they'll be like, oh, what is this? And then they can check it out, you know? I think this is relatively evergreen, just some guy wandering around. Maybe people will find it, maybe they won't. Either way, whatever. But for those of you that are here, I appreciate it very much, and thank you. And I hope you're enjoying this, because with the 100-episode back catalog ready to roll, it's like, yeah, it's going to take like 2 years at one a week for those to come out. You know, that's lots of lead time, lots of podcasts to keep me busy while I'm back in Canada. But I've recently realized that the flight back to Canada is frightfully expensive. It is just so brutally expensive. And I've only really been gone not that long. Less than a year, you know? So less than a year out in Asia, this is really no big deal. There's no need to be rushing back to Canada. You know, I still keep in touch with everybody. Do little video calls with my mom and stuff. I was talking to her and she's in no big hurry for me to come back. She's like, yeah, you know, I mean, if you're out there anyway, you're just going to get itching to leave once you get back to Canada. You might as well stay longer and do more stuff and see more stuff. And I agreed, because it's like, yeah, I could either spend minimum, the cheapest flight back to Canada is like $1,600 at the peak of summer. It's just brutal. Or I could just fly to Taipei for $200. You know, the options seem, it seems clear that I should hang out here longer. Take my time getting back to Canada. What's the hurry? And that being the case, it's looking more and more like perhaps I should just go back to Japan for a second visit while I'm still in this part of the world. And you know, I had that little handful of episodes about Montreal. I've got a handful of episodes about South Korea. But if I go back to Japan, you know, we're going full speed ahead again. I'm just going to be recording ludicrous numbers of podcasts because I find every little thing so fascinating there. So this is just too many podcasts. So what this means is we got to up the production schedule. Instead of weekly, this podcast is going to be twice a week. So we've been coming out on Wednesdays. Now it's going to be an episode on Wednesday and an episode on Saturday. And again, if you're here for the ride as they come out, thank you very much. If you come here in the future, great, you know, they're just there for anyone that might find it interesting. What is it like to just wander around X, Y, or Z specific weird little part of the world? So yeah, starting from here, this is the Wednesday episode, my arrival in Chiba, and then on Saturday, we'll get day two in Chiba, and then, oh my God, day three in Chiba. That's the day I got super duper drunk. Went to an izakaya, and that's a whole, man, that's a story and a half. And then after that, it's when I met the guy from the Buddhist sect and went along to a man, there's just a lot of stuff happened in Chiba. So stay tuned. And yeah, I hope you've been enjoying these. thank you again for listening. And yeah, this is the report that I guess I'm going to be traveling a little longer than I expected. Maybe a lot longer than I expected. So this is now a twice weekly podcast, Wednesday and Saturday. I think I'm also slowly getting better at these podcasts. I mean, there's not much to it. It's just me walking around, rambling about what is happening around me. But I'm slowly picking up stuff. Like I realized in those early episodes, I really need to be a little more mindful of traffic. I was really letting the traffic run wild. And in this episode in particular, this Chiba one, listening back to it, I don't know if that music is from, there's like a clothing store here, but that sounds like a for real piano. That doesn't sound like a recording. Wow, weird though. I tried to walk toward it and it disappeared. Oh, there it is again. Phantom piano. Is that just coming from that house? Maybe someone's practicing piano. Oh my God, do you hear that? Oh yeah, there it is. There's a window that says music. So yeah, it's some kind of music school up there. So if anyone was curious if anime music is also popular in South Korea, yes it is, because that's the Evangelion theme. I think nothing in Evangelion has held up better than the music. A lot of things about that series are very strange in retrospect, but the music is so fucking good. It is like the best anime music of all time. All of the songs on that soundtrack are fucking amazing. The Ray theme, all the different versions, the attack song. Holy fuck. Anyway, that was cool. But that ties into what I was just going to say, is listening back to this Chiba episode, it's so scatterbrained. You know, I started telling one story, and then I'd spin off into a second sub-story, and then spin off to a third story, and then come back to the first story. And, you know, sometimes that just happens, because you walk by a fucking building where the Evangelion theme is playing, you know? But sometimes there's no particular excuse for it. I mean, yeah, even just, I was listening to this episode and I was like, buddy, pick a lane. Finish a story before you start the next story, please. So yeah, maybe I'm overstating it, but I found this a little hard to follow. But again, as I do this and as I get a little more comfortable with it, hopefully I will get my mind together. Even though it is just rambling, it doesn't need to be rambling to that degree. So anyway, we sally forth, we carry on. The podcast continues to evolve. So yeah, without further ado, let me introduce you to the magical land of Chiba, Japan. Let's go. Aha. All right, I'm in Chiba, and my Airbnb guy, very nice fellow, made me a little map, which I forgot to bring, but it's a little after 3, so it's going to be dark in a couple hours, less than a couple hours. But he mentioned one thing that seemed easy to follow is there's like a monorail that goes through Chiba. And he said, hey, if you go to the monorail and you follow it and just keep on walking straight, you'll get to the waterfront, Tokyo Bay, I think this is called. It is indeed. So yeah, he lives pretty close to Chiba Station. And here's Chiba Port Park with the Chiba Port Tower, which I told him I was scared of heights, so I will not be going up that. Oh, there goes the monorail overhead. There's one like that near Tachikawa also. It's kind of cool because the monorail in Vancouver the rail's on the bottom. This is one where the rail's on the top. And the car hangs down. I wonder if it takes normal Suica card stuff. Probably, but I should look that up, because I should take it just to say I took it. But yeah, Chiba Port Tower, Chiba Prefectural Museum of Art, which I will take a gander at as I walk past. But this seems like a good first quick little thing to try to do while the sun's still up. So this is one of these little weird situations that would just be a pure bonus for other people. That's one reason why I was thinking of calling this Introvert's Holiday. Is there were a couple of Airbnbs, specifically in Fukuoka, that I didn't book because the reviews were too good. One of them, in Fukuoka especially, was like the exact neighborhood where I wanted to go, because there's this cool hiking path up into the mountains that I found last time that I'm planning on hitting up. And instead I got a place that's like an hour walk away, and then a second place that's even further than that. Although I realized that might not be as far as I thought, because I was looking at Airbnbs, and my Airbnb from 2019, they were near the entrance to that mountain. But then I had a very long walk home after I was done doing the loop around the mountain, where now it'll be a longer walk to start, but it should spit me out closer to my Airbnb at the end. So I think it'll all work out fine. But it's one of these cases where I just feel like a weirdo, because this guy's like, I've never seen reviews so good. People loved this guy who was like out near Umebayashi Station, which is exactly where I wanted to be. One review was like, we came here on our honeymoon and me and my husband are already planning on coming back to stay at this exact place again because it was so awesome and this guy rules so much. And that I'm inside some kind of a, oh, here's where you enter the monorail line. Actually, I might save that for a nighttime thing. I bet the city looks cool at night. Oh, and there's the tower. It looks kind of like the Fukuoka Tower, but I think smaller. Basically just looks like a building, a long, tall building, as opposed to like the Skytree that is more of a CN Tower looking thing. But yeah, this guy was super friendly and he cooked meals for us and he hung out with us and we had beers and yada yada. And I hemmed and hawed about it for a little bit, but that's the reason I didn't book it, is because I wanted to stay for like 3 weeks in Fukuoka. And I was thinking like, maybe a week, maybe I could go there for a bit. But I just don't want to entwine myself into someone's life. I guess it's been pretty clear if you've listened to these podcasts so far. I'm more than happy to just walk around by myself and wander randomly and head out into the woods or just stay in the city, but just walk around all day. I find it's no problem, you know? It's not hard to fill the days. The days go by plenty fast. I'm never wishing like, oh, I wish I had more to do. Or, I wish I had something else to fill up the day. That's never an issue. And in fact, I noticed that today. Kind of the whole reason I'm stopping in Chiba is because if I were to try to get all the way to Narita to fly to Fukuoka today, that's what I did when I first left Japan in 2019. I left from Akigawa Station and I had to leave at like 6 in the morning to get all the way across Tokyo in time. It was mental. So in this case, I didn't have to leave until, you know, 10:30 or 11. Because I'm only going halfway, just going halfway, hanging out in Chiba for a few days, then continuing on, seeing what this is all about. But yeah, I had these ideas that like, it'll be so leisurely, what an easy day. Maybe I'll do my laundry while I'm in between Airbnbs or whatever. But I'm glad I did my laundry yesterday because there was no time. Just like, this wasn't too bad because from Hajima, I managed to get some kind of a super duper mega express all the way into central Tokyo that only stopped like 5 or 6 times. But then from there, I had to switch to the local into Chiba, so it stopped 21 times or something. So the whole trip was like 2.5-3 hours, I don't know. But yeah, basically I had to like message the guy. I thought I was gonna show up at X time at like 2 o'clock, and I was like, I think it's gonna be more like 3. Just the whole day gets eaten up so quickly, no matter what you do. Like even yesterday, all I did was hang out at the mall all day, but most of that was just editing a podcast at a Starbucks. Do that, do laundry, it eats up the day. Go on a big rambling walk somewhere, that eats up the day. Having to travel across Tokyo, that eats up the day. The days are just wicked short, man. There is no time. I didn't finish either of them, but as like a writing exercise, I started writing a Batman story and a Superman story. And they're both about time management, you know. Since superheroes are always, you know, a metaphor for something, that's what's always on my mind, is there's just not enough time to do the things you want to do in the day. I wish I could just not have to sleep and I could just stay up 24 hours a day. Then I would maybe get a little more done, but probably not. It would just, the time would just get eaten up. So like in the case of Batman, it's like there's only so much time in the night, you know. They treat it like it's like this infinite expanse of him just at night running around stopping crimes. But the reality is, especially in the summer, you know, you gotta wait a while before it gets dark. Then you gotta wait a while before anybody's gonna be willing to start doing crimes. Then it's gonna be like 3 a.m. If you're lucky, you know, that was kind of gonna be my take on Batman, is if he can stop one thing per night, that's considered a success, because that's just the reality of how much time there actually is. All right, the monorail has turned off to the side. I'm still going forward. And I should get a coffee, actually. I did have one coffee this morning, but I could use another one. And then the Superman one. Superman's weird to me because I just don't understand Superman. I find him a lot tougher to sort out what the point of Superman is. But in his case, it was going to be that he doesn't need to sleep very often. And I never really understood this idea that Superman would be America's superhero. Why would he just hang out in America? I would think he would follow the sun because he's like somehow sun-powered or sun-based. It's never quite clear on, like, is everyone on Krypton, were they all superpowered or were they all normal? And then it was Earth's yellow sun that just made him super. I guess that is how it works. Anyway, he likes the sun. So my thinking was that Superman would follow the sun. He would just follow it around the Earth for like the whole week. So I would have him follow the sun for the whole week and his adventures for the week. And then at the very end, he goes to bed, finally. But I especially never worked on that story because Superman is so hard to figure out what the point is. So yeah, traveling eats up the day pretty good. I actually decided to get one of these vitamin C drinks. The one that's my favorite is actually really hard to find. It comes in this little tiny green glass bottle. Oh, is that a Tully's? Nice. I love Tully's. Tully's is just, it's just, you know, it's like Starbucks, but I should go there and hang out. But yeah, this vitamin C drink comes in a tiny glass bottle, and it's just packed with vitamin C, and you drink it, and it's real sour, and it's like, bow, but that brand is hard to find, so this one's bigger. This is an Asahi Mitsuya vitamin C drink. A bit bigger, a bit more liquid. I like small amounts of liquid and large amounts of punch. But yeah, I noticed I've kind of been, I did bring vitamins with me, but I've been slacking a little on taking them. And I've noticed I got a little canker sore forming on the inside of my mouth because my body, I can always tell. You know, sometimes like vitamins seem like a bit of an abstract thing, but not for me. I can really tell when I'm not taking my vitamins because my body starts doing weird shit like getting canker sores. And one more quick side story, I still feel like the luckiest man alive because I've just avoided getting a cold this whole time. And there's so many times when I'm sure that I caught a cold from somebody or someone around me is coughing like crazy. I did have like a little bit of a grumbly throat for a few days in Montreal, but no big deal. And yesterday I felt it for sure. I was just like really tired and just feeling just like indisputable evidence that I was getting sick. You could just feel it. But then I woke up today and I felt okay. And I'm like, God damn, I did it again. I'm so fucking lucky. But a little vitamin C wouldn't hurt. Anyway, yeah, so I hemmed and hawed about this place in Fukuoka because I didn't want to hang out with somebody, you know? I wanted to just walk into the mountains all by myself. Just wanted a little bunk to go bunk down in, and that's it. So then I hesitated long enough that then when I went back to check, the listing was taken, which happens a lot, too. I think with Airbnb, it's a good policy that if you see a place you think you might want, you should probably just book it right away. Because it's a very big world and there's a lot of people traveling. So whatever you're looking at will probably not be there for long. And also, you know, it sort of occurred to me too once it was taken. That it's like, yeah, it's best that I didn't book that place because whoever else got it is gonna like it, you know? They're gonna want that experience. Like, maybe they're in Japan for less time than me, and maybe they're not just a weird loner like I am. Maybe they are, you know, that's why they travel. That's why they wanna make some friends, meet the locals, do the whole thing. Because I remember before Airbnb even, couchsurfing.com was getting to be pretty popular. And the idea was you could just, host people, just offer your couch for people traveling. And it wasn't for money, it was just to meet people, just to have that experience. And then when you're traveling around, you don't necessarily need any evidence that you've hosted people, but you know, it doesn't hurt. Like the whole thing was kind of just based on socialness, as far as I understand, of like, if someone sees like, oh, look at this person, they've hosted a bunch of people at their house, they're extra willing to host you at their place, you know. And in theory, it sounds great. Sounds like a great way to just travel around the world, but I just knew it would never work for me because, again, you're just too intertwined with someone else's life. And I don't want to do that, you know. Oh, getting nearer the tower. Hopefully, we'll get away from some of this traffic. There are a lot of trucks. And not like the small little cute trucks that are in a lot of the other neighborhoods. These are for real full-size trucks. And a couple of, what are those called? Like the big truck things that carry other cars, you know, like they're towing around a bunch of cars. I know there's a name for that, but I don't know what it is. So this place I booked because it was, you know, really close to the airport. It's like 40 minutes from here to get to the airport. Pretty direct, I believe, from Chiba Station. So that'll be nice because I just didn't want to have a stressful travel day. Like if I pushed all the way through, if I traveled straight all the way to the airport, I really would have had to get up at 6 in the morning again because, you know, once I get there, then I got to figure out where my Peach flight is, which is, you know, this weird little domestic airline in some strange corner of the airport. And, you know, I don't like being stressed at the airport at all. I want to get there as early as possible. And as I learned in Calgary, apparently I can get there a whole day early and it's no big deal. It's actually kind of fun. So I just didn't want to push it. So it's like, yeah, I'll just stop in the middle. Check out Chiba for a few days. And then I can leisurely go to the airport. Set that all up. Take the nice little flight to Fukuoka. And then the place I eventually booked in Fukuoka is just an apartment with a key code, so I don't even need to meet up with people and stuff. Should be a pretty easy day. The biggest problem is going to be the weight limit on the luggage on that airline, but we'll see how that goes. So here we are, the Chiba Prefectural Museum of Art. I'd like to say that I'll go in, but that's one of those things I learned about myself at some point too. I just had to accept my shallowness. Is that museums don't really do much for me. Especially in New York, it's just like, hey, you're here, you're living in New York, you should go see all the stuff. And like, I'm not saying it was bad, but it just doesn't really sink in. For me, it needs to be something that I can, you know, like something less abstract. So the Natural History Museum is pretty cool because it has like dinosaur bones and stuff. or I don't think it was that museum, but there was one that had medieval armor. And it was cool just to see, like, it was small. And it's weird because you recontextualize your idea of the past of, you know, all these, like, armies fighting. And it's weird because I'm 6'2". It's like, look at all these little midgets fighting. Like, these angry, tiny little men. Because they're very small. It was very small, these suits of armor. And it's just weird because they weren't small at the time. To them, they were all just normal people size. But when you look at it now, it just seems like, I mean, probably all the fussing and the feuding probably could have been talked out. There's probably not really a lot of need for any of the wars of the past. But it's just extra weird to think that it's like these tiny angry men fighting. But it was just neat to see them, like to have something to grasp onto. Or I went to a museum once about the history of the skateboard. And to me, like, that'll always stick with me because I learned about fat boards. They're these big, thick boards that were, like, around in the 80s for a while. And they were, like, 84, I'm going to say. I might have the details wrong now. It's been a while. But I'd never heard of those before. And it's just really neat, you know? Just the progression of the banana board, which is kind of like a alteration of a surfboard, to the modern day skateboard, but in the middle there were these different types of skateboards. That's the kind of stuff I dig, but just a general all-purpose museum, I mean, it just kind of washes over me. I don't remember much of what goes on in those. Yeah, I'm very close to the tower now, and yeah, it looks like a building, but if I remember right, the way the Fukuoka Tower is set up, it also looks like a building, but there's nothing in it. I wonder if this is the same. I see some lights up at the top, but I mean, obviously, I guess that's where you take the elevator up and see the view. But being a scared of heights bitch as I am, I shall not be doing that. But yeah, I'm away from the traffic, so this is nice. Let's go see Tokyo Bay. So yeah, this place in Chiba, not only did I want a place to stay in the middle, but it seemed kind of handy, and it did in fact work out as I thought it might. Is this guy has a room that he rents, like a dedicated room, but it was booked already. And another room with four bunks in it. But instead of a separate listing for each of the bunks, it was only one listing. So if you wanted to book it as three or four people, there you go. But if just one person books it, he's got like a message on the Airbnb that like the only awkwardness here is if one person books it, the listing disappears. So it is possible that this may be available even if it doesn't look available. You know, send me a message and we can sort it out. But Airbnb frowns quite highly on, you know, doing stuff outside of the Airbnb system. So I presumed that in this case, if I book it for 4 or 5 days, whatever, I think I'm here 5 days, probably it'll be just me, you know, that's the chances are, that's how it'll work out. And indeed, that is what happened. So I was like, yeah, nice, you know, I basically got this whole area to myself. Not bad. Well, I can see boats way in the distance. Some buildings on the other side, this is kind of cool, I've never been down to the bay before. But yeah, the point of all this rambling is, and I know, like, this is the most insane, stupid shit to be like hangdog about is that the guy is so friendly. He's so dang nice. He's this older Japanese guy. His English is not great, but I mean, it's like about the same as my French is. I totally understood everything he was saying as he was showing me around and whatever. He made a little map for me. It's all good. And then he was like, hey, me and my friend tomorrow night, we're going to an izakaya. Can you come back here like around 4 or 5 o'clock? And we'll go to the izakaya, we'll hang out. His English is better than mine, we'll hang out, we'll talk. And I know it's gonna be a good time, I'll have fun. It's an experience I would never have normally because I'm too much of a bitch to go into a store by myself that's not a convenience store. I would never go to an izakaya in a million years. So I know I'll come back with a tale of like, ah, it was great, what a good time. But I still don't want to do it. It's like, darn it. I was afraid this might happen. This guy's too nice. So tomorrow I'm off to the izakaya. And again, it's like, what am I even... I'm not going to belabor it now because I know tomorrow it'll be great. I'll be glad that I did it. But as he was pitching me the idea, you know, I can't not do it. I can't just, like, not show up or ghost the guy. I can't do it. That would be very un-Canadian of me. I said I'd be there. I'm going to be there. But that is where my smile got a little strained. And it's like, oh, you're being so nice. Everyone else in the world would love this. This would all be a bonus. I'm just the weirdo who, you know, I booked this because I thought through a loophole. It's like, hey, you know what? I bet this little nook he's got over on the side with the four bunks will be just me. And it worked. It is just me. But he's so dang nice. So the bay from this particular vantage point, not so good. A lot of industrial stuff to my right. And then across the bay, more and more. Industrial. Then halfway through, then it sort of looks a little better. This is a bit like, a really good shoreline is Vancouver. Vancouver is pretty great. Pretty much wherever you stop at the side of the water, it's probably going to be pretty nice. This is more Toronto. Toronto, it's very hard to find space by the waterfront. It's a lake in that case. That is not big industrial buildings and shit. You know, they built them back in the day. Now everyone wishes they weren't there, but they are. But anyway, there is a nice little park here, so let me just wander around it. See what there is to see. But yeah, when I first booked this place and I sent my little introductory message, I was like, hey, yo, I'm Keith from Canada. Never been to Chiba before. Excited to go check it out. And the response was something along the lines of like, hey, cool, right on, good to see you. But Chiba has nothing here. There's nothing here. It's boring. And I wondered if maybe it was like something about like, sometimes the translations can get pretty wonky. I try to formulate my sentences as like very short sentences, nothing to run on, because I'm not quite sure how it's coming out the other side once it gets translated through the auto-translate. But no, that is indeed what he meant, because that's what this guy said to me today. He's like, I was like, all right, cool, I only got a little bit of daylight left, so I'm just going to go wander around. And he's like, all right, but Chiba's nothing here. He's like, all right, there's the bay. There's some castle ruins not too far from here. There's the museum. There's the tower. I mean, yeah, I guess I've already seen it. Oh, hey, there's a nice thing. But he's like, yeah, but that's it, you know? What you see is what you get. But after all the time in the woods, a little city time ain't so bad. Although that is, industrial stuff is not just for show. It is just constantly grinding away out there. But I just realized I can see Mount Fuji. Never been some kind of big Mount Fuji guy. People get weirdly obsessed with Mount Fuji. But this is actually a neat shot that it's like all this weird industrial crap and then right in the middle is Mount Fuji. The only problem is, since I'm just using this dumb camera phone, it doesn't have a very good zoom. I'm not sure how great this picture will turn out, but it seems okay. Just a little tiny Mount Fuji in the distance. But yeah, that's kind of cool. I believe this is the first time I've ever actually seen Mount Fuji. And yeah, since the sun's going down, it's got like this orange hue around it. And yeah, just being surrounded by the weird industrial crap, that's kind of a bonus. That's kind of neat. It's neat too because it's really cloudy today, but just the way things are situated, it's just like clouds, and you can see Mount Fuji, and that's cool. That's not bad. It's already turning out all right. And yeah, I mean, maybe if I was here for ages, I'm sure this guy has probably lived in Chiba forever, so that's what I told him. Basically, that was my response. It's like, hey, this is all exciting to me. Like, I don't care if all I do is there was a New Day's, you know, in the station. There's a Lawson's outside the station. There's a 7-Eleven between your house and the station. That's more than enough to keep me happy, my friend. I think, too, this is coming back to me. I haven't looked it up since, but I think when I was just doing random research, when I was back home hunkering down during COVID, I think the reason I didn't see any New Day's until I took the subway out west is I think New Day's, the convenience store chain is actually owned by JR Rail. So they're in the subway stations, which would, that would check out, because they are always in the subway stations, it seems. So when I wasn't taking any subways, that's why I didn't see any. Oh, and speaking of random research, I finally remembered to look up bears and wild boars, since I ran into a guy out at the edge of Akiruno who was wearing bear bells, and I saw a sign warning about wild boars. There's a public washroom here, but it's all blocked off. I've never seen a washroom with just the caution tape on it before. However, I'm gonna get a coffee anyway, because I have to trust that there's another washroom around here somewhere. Oh yeah, speaking of the vitamin C drink too, there's this other brand that I don't know what the heck the flavor is, but it's another one of these vitamin drinks that's like in a brown bottle, and it tastes so bad. It is like medicine. But I don't know what's in there. Maybe it's amazing. Maybe it's every vitamin in the world. But the vitamin C drinks taste a lot better. Oh, here's one right here. Oronomin C drink. Yeah, I got one just to be like, do I really hate them as much as I thought I did? And yes, I do. They're gross. Get a nice little, oh, did I get a cold coffee by accident? Oh, well, it's okay. It's really not, still pretty decent weather. It's not particularly hot or cold right now, so that's okay. But I got the slightly bigger one. Not the huge 600 milliliter monstrosities, but how big is this one? I don't know, but the medium size can. That's how much confidence I have that there must be a washroom here somewhere. A walk toward Fuji-san and trust that it's leading me to a washroom. Yeah, one nice thing too about spending the day in the subway around here is it's really not bad. Not only are there New Day's convenience stores everywhere, but in most places, if I was on an epic day-long journey, I would dehydrate myself to not have to worry about having to pee on my 3-hour trek. Where here, I was like, woke up feeling a little logy, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna get a coffee out of one of the many machines. There'll be washrooms all over the place on this journey, and there were. Ah, oh, that's good. You know, I was complaining a lot at first about the sugary coffee, blah, blah, blah. But if you haven't had coffee since this morning, this is more than good enough. But yeah, I finally looked up the state of wild animals, because I knew there were not bears in Kyushu, the southern island where Fukuoka is, which is nice. But yeah, seeing the guy with the bear bells the other day, it's like, well, clearly, I was taking that to presume that maybe bears were only in the north, but why else would this guy have bear bells? So it turns out there's black bears and brown bears. I don't remember the specifics of which is which. But one of those types of bears is only in the north, and the other is very much on this island, Honshu, the main island where Tokyo is. And the wild boars are sort of the opposite. They're not in the north. They're only in Honshu and Kyushu. So Tokyo's got all the stuff, potentially. It's got bears, it's got boars, it's got snakes. It's only got one of its 50,000 types of spiders being venomous, but technically. So yeah, I guess that's just something that never came up and normally wouldn't, because obviously, you know, right now, near Tokyo Bay and Chiba, I don't need to worry about bears and boars. But I didn't expect when I was exploring Musashi Utsukaishi Station and way at the edge of Kamine Park and stuff, I just didn't expect to get to the edge of the map, you know, where you very much get to the end of the city part of Tokyo, and you just really are heading into the woods and heading into the national trail system and stuff. I didn't venture very far into it, just a little bit, but I guess that's something I need to be somewhat mindful of, because I'm definitely going to go back at least once more to make sure I see that waterfall properly. But I don't think I'm gonna go down the horrible stairs. I think I am gonna go around the back way through the forestry trail. But then maybe I'll go up the stairs on the way out. Going up steep stairs is not nearly as bad as going down them. But I wonder, I mean, for the little bit I intend to be in the woods, I think, yet another in my series of famous last words, I think, you know, I'll bone up a little on my basic bear. Because as I understand it, it's like you just don't want a bear to be surprised. If you see a bear, it's best just to call to it and to say, hello, bear, you know, just let the bear know you're there. And just let it go about its business. And if it does attack and try to eat you, something very fucked up is going on. You're in the middle of a bear famine or something. It's really unlikely to happen. Startling a bear out of nowhere, apparently, is like, that's the trouble. Or, you know, getting between a bear and its cubs somehow. In normal cases, well, I mean, even if I was gonna go try to buy, like, bear mace or something, where do I even get it? I don't know. I just feel like it maybe is all a little excessive. I don't think I need to do all that stuff. But I guess it's just good to know what is around, because I really didn't even know that there was a potential for bears when I'm just, you know, getting off the subway and walking for a couple hours. It seems so close to civilization, but I mean, I guess that's the point of the encroachment of humans, right? It's like, you know, that happens in North Vancouver also, when it is a time that there's a bit of a bear famine going on. They'll just wander into town. Some bears wandered into Fredericton while I was there a couple of years ago. Super rare, but it can happen. Anyway, arrival into Chiba so far, pretty industrial. A lot of big grinding factories, a lot of trucks and stuff. Oh yeah, on the other side of where I'm walking, there's a bunch of those like giant shipping cranes where they move big crates onto ships and stuff. I'm a little touch anxious about tomorrow's izakaya adventure, but whatever. I mean, again, I know it'll be fun once I'm doing it. It's the lead up. It's like doing a speech in school. It's not really that bad when you're doing it. It's just the anticipation leading up to it, that's the worst part. It kind of reminds me of when I lived in New York. Eventually, you know, New York, it was like, hey, let's go into Manhattan, let's go hang out at bars until fucking 4 a.m, let's go do stuff. And I lived there for a year and a half, and I did start to, as time went on, just turn down more and more invitations. And I didn't know how to explain it or describe it. What I eventually came up with is fun's not fun. You know, going out to Manhattan, hanging out at a bar, surely that's fun. That's fun for everybody. Let's have fun. Or tomorrow, you know, like it's not a source of anxiety, or it shouldn't be. It's supposed to be fun. Go to an izakaya, eat some food, drink some beer, have fun. But to me, fun is not fun. Fun isn't fun. Fun is a job you gotta do. And then you do, after the job's done, you get nice memories, you get a nice story, you have a nice experience, but it very much feels like work. Fun is work to me. Fun isn't fun. What the hell is this? So, I've just been walking as close as I can get to Fuji. Oh yeah, there's a view and a half. Holy shit, that view's way better. So I'm just at the peak of this little park. And there's a thing overhead that it's weird. It almost looks like a roller coaster, but I guess it's just a roof, just like a twisty roof for if it's raining or something, maybe. And there's people fishing. Yeah, this is the end of the line, but that is a way better view of Fuji. Picture time. I don't know if anything else is going to happen to me in Chiba today. That could be the end of the episode, but I think we know what the episode image is going to be. It's gonna be sunset Mount Fuji. And it really is pretty cool. Good old Japan, man. Just wander around randomly in random places at random times, and cool shit's gonna happen. And from here, you can kind of put the industrial stuff to the side and not focus on it. You see more out into the proper bay. And there's just a bunch of ships. It looks much more like the Vancouver water, where you just see the ships in the distance. Very pretty. Man, there's a lot of people fishing down here. Yeah, I mean, so far, you know, despite the industrial nature, this is pretty good. So far, I'd give Chiba a thumbs up for a very short visit. You know, if I stayed here for a month, I'd probably be like, Jesus, I gotta get the hell out of here. But for a few days, I think this is gonna be all right. Man, one thing that's actually kind of eerie, I walked around a little bit more of this part of the park where everyone's fishing. The sun is still not quite down, and I was like, should I just stand here and watch the whole, what do you call that? The opposite of the sunrise, the sunfall, the coming of night. But again, I'm just too shallow. It's like, I can't just stand here and just wait for it to get dark. It's like, hey, that's cool that that's Fuji, but come on. I would probably just pull out my phone and do some writing or something. And I mean, I guess that's neat in its own pretentious way. I wrote that part of the novel, standing in the glow of the dusk as I felt the power of Fuji enter my cock and balls. But I was like, nah, I'm just going to walk around a little and, you know, take another gander at the at Fuji as I leave and then get the fuck out of here. I'm not just going to stand here. But it is eerie to look out at Mount Fuji and to think, like, there's people up there right now. There's probably a fuck ton of people up there right now. And it's like a weird thought because it's like, yeah, shit, that thing is pretty big. It's really far away and I can see it completely clearly. So, I mean, it's fucking huge. And I've watched, you know, people do YouTube chronicles of climbing Fuji, and I have zero interest in that. I have less than zero. I have negative interest. There's this guy, Victor, Frame of Travel, who very rarely does his own YouTube videos or anything, but I've seen him in, like, Tokyo Lenses videos and stuff. He does a cool thing where he starts at the ocean, and he walks all the way up. Because I had that thought in Vancouver, you know, there's the Grouse Grind up the side of Grouse Mountain. That's a pretty decent little walk, but you do take a bus to, you know, base camp or whatever. But if you started, if you came across on the sea bus, which is just a nice, it's part of the normal transit system in British Columbia, but it's basically just a big barge takes people across the fucking, little ferry takes people across the water. So you're right at the water. So you could literally touch the water and then walk. It would take, I don't know, how 3 hours, I'm going to say, maybe more. But you could walk to where the buses take you and then walk up Grouse. And I always thought that'd be neat. That's like some Oblivion shit. That is like, you know, you started at the sea level and walked up to the top of the mountain. So he actually does that with Fuji. And that seems neat to me because he has to bring gear for all the different stuff you're going to encounter on the way. So he needs entire different outfits. It takes days to do this. Because down at the bottom, it's like forests, and then as you get up to the top, it's just volcanic rock and freezingness. But it's the bottom part that I think is interesting. It's like that part seems neat, where he's going along roads people don't usually walk along, or through forest parts that people don't normally hike. Like, he's right at the foot of Fuji, but there's still just all this terrain that everybody skips, that is not commonly used. And that shit just seems cool. It just seems really neat. But then once you get above the tree line, and I mean, Fuji just looks fucking miserable. There's no other way to say it. It's not like a cool nature hike. It's not like, oh, look how sweet this is. Fucking walking up a cool mountain. It's just walking up a shit mountain. Walking up it's like walking up the side of the moon. Ooh, man, the sun is getting super bright as it's getting really close to the horizon now. I would just take a picture of the sunset. That's what it's called, the sunset. But it seems weird to take a picture of the sunset when Fuji's right there. It's like ignoring Fuji for the sun. You can see the sun anytime. But yeah, climbing up Fuji, no thank you. That is not something I will ever do. But it's very interesting to think that right up there right now, bunch of little people watching the sun go down. Although I guess the traditional thing is you want to like camp out halfway up and then go up in the dark so you get to see the sun rise from the top of Fuji. So maybe there's not, there must be somebody up there. I'm sure there's some people that just take it in weird radical ways. Assuming, can you actually climb Fuji all year? I'm sure there's like a season where you can't. But the weather's been so good lately, I gotta assume it's still open. But I guess I actually don't know. Yet another common thread in this podcast is me openly pontificating about things that I don't know and have no way to look up. But, holy fuck, the sun gets bright right before it goes down. See, I guess this is good. This is where my low brownness, just doing this stupid podcast, saved me from myself, where I was just going to walk away. It's like, I'm not going to stand here and watch the sun set like some kind of fucking mark. But since I'm just standing here yammering into a podcast, it got me to stay. And yeah, holy fuck, that is like, it's remarkable how bright the sun gets right before it disappears. All right, well, I'm not going to describe a sunset in real time. We're not quite at that point yet. So at this point, though, I am going to stay and watch it because it's almost down. Imagine it. Just imagine how cool it is. Am I painting a word picture? Probably not. Sun's bright. What can I do to add to the word picture? So the boats way in the distance. I can see their lights now, little flashing lights, and there's still a bunch of people fishing. I can see like a good 15 people lined up, all fishing in the sunset. It's starting to hurt my eyes a little bit. I shouldn't stare directly at it, I guess. I don't know, maybe it's gonna photon my brain. Maybe it's gonna photon my eyes out of my skull. Time-lapse video. I've never messed with this before. 120 times X. It says it's good for sunsets. But I'm probably not supposed to be holding this, right? This is all yammering. Cut this. Who cares? Who the fuck cares? Oh, now it's disappearing. Man, it's going down pretty fucking quick. Pretty fast. It's half gone already. Here we are. We've become the thing I just said we weren't going to be. I'm describing a sunset. For fuck's sake. Jeez, yeah, I looked down for a second and now it's almost gone. Just see the top of the old sun. You know, there was an old, let's bring this back to shallow pop culture-ness. There was a TurboGrafx-16 game called Victory Run. I never played it, but it's a racing game. And it was a bit famous back in the day because after you beat the game, you know, the TurboGrafx-16, it was all right. Oh, the sun's almost gone. It was like better than a Nintendo, but not as good as a Super Nintendo. It was like in the middle. And Victory Run had a real-time sunset. If you beat the game, the ending was you had to sit there and watch a sunset happen on your fucking TV screen for like 15 minutes or something. I bet it looked like shit because there just weren't that many colors on the TurboGrafx. Although because it is kind of overcast in general today, it's not that many colors here either, actually. Sunset's very orange, turning purple, but everything around me is just kind of dull grass and a lot of blue, a lot of darkness, as is the tradition at night. There we go, sun's gone, can't see the sun, just can still see the brightness in the sky, but no more sun. Again, though, this is just really neat, right? Like, I guess I didn't walk at total random. It's like if I'm going to walk in a direction and I know that there's a waterfront right here, I mean, it's the natural thing to go to first, but I didn't know you could see Fuji from here. I didn't even know what direction Fuji was in from here. Certainly didn't expect a Fuji sunset. And then after this, I'm going to go to a convenience store and buy a bunch of crap. What could be better than this? What a good day. Thought I was getting sick, didn't get sick. Some Japanese guy is forcing me out of my comfort zone so I'll actually do something interesting tomorrow. I mean, you know, it's a win-win-win-win-win-win. All right, well, now that the sun's gone, I don't know how long it'll take for darkness to fully fall. But let's move along because I still never found a washroom to strain this coffee I'm drinking. I was thinking that a bit of a, you know, it's like I shouldn't even say these things out loud or think them, because it's just like tempting fate. But like this way that I've just been dodging colds, it's weird, because during COVID I didn't get any colds because I didn't fucking talk to anyone except my direct family, basically. And even one of them, my cousin, got COVID, but I managed not to get it. But right after all the restrictions and stuff lifted, I didn't catch COVID, but then I suddenly started catching colds, all kinds of colds all the time. But leading up to this trip and during this trip, I just keep dodging it, and I don't know how. And I was thinking, like, if you could get a minor perk, you know, like a very minor X-Men power, this would be a really good one. Just like the worst you ever get is a tiny tickle in your throat, or maybe your nose is slightly runny for half a day, and that's it. You just don't get sick. That'd be a good one. But indisputably, what I would take as my minor perk would just be iron bladder. The way cows have four stomachs, give me four bladders, please. Don't need to pee. That would be all right with me. Man, it is goddamn pretty as fuck. So the, now that, you know, I can still see the light, but the light's turning very, still orange, but darker. It's getting dark orange. You can still see the silhouette of Fuji pretty well. I can see why Japanese art and stuff is so obsessed with Mount Fuji. Like, there's so much Mount Fuji stuff because if I learned anything from Yuru Camp, the camping anime, it's that you can see Mount Fuji from all over the place. There's like a zillion different vantage points where you can see it. And it is so clear. It's like, man, you couldn't ever miss that. All right, well, that's cool and all, but yeah, I gotta go pee. Holy crap. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next episode.